Thank you. I probably should admit that I did go shopping on that trip. Look, I was like, I'll allocate my days, this day for the Lord, this day for shopping, because come on, people, we don't have a Mecca here. We don't have a David Jones. So when in Rome, i.e. Brisbane, we go shopping. Yes, let's move on. How are we doing this morning, church? Well, we're in that season between Christmas and New Year's where it's like, what day is it? Eating way too much cheese, eating leftovers, or is that just me? I'm the only one that's just eating whatever I want. That has to stop soon. This morning, full disclosure, I don't actually have a title for my sermon. I've put 2026 on it because I feel the Lord has given me a little bit of, not vision, but I think an expectation to carry into 2026. And I had a completely different sermon about 3 days ago. And then I felt the Lord was like, hey, I want you to share this. And this is what the body can expect. And so that excites me because I think it's so important for us to bend and flex and submit to the Lord with what he wants to say. That's my prayer when I'm up here that, yes, there is going to be part of me that speaks, but ultimately the Lord speaks and he gets the glory and he moves. So why don't we open up our Bibles this morning to Isaiah 43, verse 18. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. You might know this scripture, you might not. Let's look together. So Isaiah 43, 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that as we walked into this place, Lord, your presence met us, that we don't even have to say, come Holy Spirit. That you are already here, your presence was already here, and we've walked into that, and we join you, we join with heaven, we join with the angels. And so this morning, Lord, we say, speak to us. We want to walk out with a greater revelation of you and your word, and expectant for 2026. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, the new thing that God's doing, we're at the end of 2025. This is the last Sunday service before we move into 2026. And I was pretty excited to preach on this day because I instantly felt God, you know, impart on my heart, new thing. And I don't think it's about New Year's resolutions and personal goals and, you know, new year, new me, I'm going to join a gym. I'm not joining a gym, by the way. I've got a treadmill at home that's got a little bit of dust on it, so... I'll use that. But I really believe that the new thing is God. Him moving, his spirit moving in new ways. I don't think this refers to, you know, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You know, like you're going to have a new house, you're going to have a new car, you're going to have a new promotion. Those things are from the Lord. But I believe God saying, I'm doing a new thing and it's me, the way I'm pouring my spirit out, the way I'm going to move on earth, the way I'm going to position people in the body for my kingdom. And I love the word behold, because when we see the word behold in the Bible, it's the author, it's the person speaking saying, you know, pay close attention, pay reverent attention. This is important. I want undivided attention for what I'm about to say. So whenever we see behold, it's like we have to stop and sit and say, okay, what's about to come next? Because this is a command, this is a declaration. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Love that. And where there seems to be no way, there is a way with the Lord. It says that, I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, the barren, the dead, the broken, the sick, it can't stay the same once the Lord has put his hand on it. Once he breathes on the dead, it comes to life. Once he moves across the dry, there's rivers flowing. It's impossible for God to touch something and it to not be transformed or changed. And I love that part of this scripture. I will make a way. I will. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That which is dry cannot remain dry. I love that. And so the new thing that God's doing, it can manifest in different ways. Like I said before, God moves in promotions and provides houses and cars and he might call you away somewhere and he's in those things. He definitely is. But when I dug a little bit deeper with the Lord, I felt him say, my oil never runs dry. And he actually reminded me of a youth camp last year where this bottle of oil, we saw a miracle with it, and that's why it's up here. And it was, youth camp last year, 2024. The theme was Here Comes the Rain, and we really, was that last year? Angus, that was last year? Yeah, okay. I'm like, I feel like we've done 50 million youth camps, but there's only been two, what the heck? So Here Comes the Rain, and, you know, in the lead up to camp, we as a team were praying about, you know, God, what can we partner with? What can we believe for? Really great questions to ask, particularly at the end of the year too. God, what can I believe for 2026? How can I partner with your vision? How can I serve you? What do you have for me? And so we were praying similar prayers. God, what are you going to do? What can we expect? What can we partner with? How do you want to lead us on this camp? And I got the impression on my heart, okay, let's anoint the young people and let's believe that we're marking them for the next decade, the next 20 years, that we're going to anoint them for their calling. God's going to move. He'll do what he wants. And full disclosure, I said to the team, now let's not be, you know, sparing with the oil. Like, let's slap that oil on them. Let their forehead be shiny, you know, as they're oily for the Lord. I was like, don't hold back with the oil. Just don't get it on the carpet, because otherwise Pastor Rob will have something to say to us about the oil on the carpet. So I'm like, use it, slap it on there with tissue. And so we didn't hold back with the oil. And it was actually probably similar to this, wasn't it, Jem? This level. So it was full to the top when we first started anointing the young people, and then it went down to that level. And I put it at the back, and there's only a couple of us that have keys to that cupboard. Put it at the back, and we went to bed, had not much sleep, and then I woke up and we had some more sessions, and I felt the Lord was like, hey, there's someone here that's needs to be healed, get the oil, anoint them. And I went to get the oil, and it was right back to the top. And I stopped in my tracks. And you know how you start to gaslight yourself if there's a miracle? You're like, did I fill that up? I mean, I haven't had much sleep. Did I fill that up? And then I went on an adventure, on a journey. I was like, I'm going to prove that this is a miracle. So I went up to everyone in the team. I was like, did you fill the oil? Did you touch the oil? And everyone was like, no. Like, why is this crazy woman? Like, what happened to the oil? And so I was asking everyone, and the team were like, no, we didn't touch it. And it's funny, because sometimes we can try and prove that God hasn't performed a miracle. It was actually in the natural, like somewhat a humanistic change. And I felt God in that moment say to me, my oil never runs dry. I was like, whoa, okay, that's insane. The oil got topped up, and I believe it was the Lord, because no one touched it. I was like, did anyone touch the oil? No one touched it. And Jem actually had a really cool story. Do you want to come up quickly, Jem, and just share your story about your fuel? Because testimonies, they're encouraging, right? Hearing what God's doing.
Yeah, so that same night, I was driving home, and my car was still fairly new, so I hadn't in the previous had a car that tracked the kilometres left in the fuel tank. And so I was like, oh, I'll put that on, pay attention. And I can't remember what it was at, but yeah, there wasn't too much left, and I was paying attention. It actually went up 20 kilometres during the drive home, and I'm watching it and I'm driving. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Maybe it was just because the car was a little bit cold. And then get to Coningsby, still going up. And then I got home, and then Claire shared in the morning. I was like, whoa, God really wants to just pour his oil out and refresh everyone. And yeah.
So good. Thanks, Jem. So great. And then another time when we were on a youth retreat, Gem and I were in the car and we were driving up to Yungala, and so I think it was probably between half and a quarter where my fuel tank was sitting. And I remember when we got there, I looked at it and I thought, okay, I'll be fine to drive home. And the next day we got in the car and I was like, Gem, my fuel tank's full. And Gem was like, what? This has happened to us again? So this was January this year. And then I started to think, is that Airbnb lady just like coming and filling people's fuel tanks? Like, is that part of the service? Again, God's like, stop trying to prove that it wasn't a miracle. You know, like lean into my miracle. And so who knows that God is still doing miracles on earth? He really is. Sometimes we miss it though. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you see it? Are we missing it? And the new thing that I mentioned before is that I believe God's pouring his spirit out, and that's going to continue as things start to, you know, increase in the world. We see more chaos and things like that. I believe that God's going to match that. And he's going to increase his spirit. We're going to see more miracles on earth. And it's not that we idolize miracles, but it's the way God manifests his presence, his power and his glory. And I want to believe for that. I want to believe for an oily 2026. Does anyone else want to believe for that? Yeah. Yeah. And I know Pastor Rob will share some vision next year about the church and the direction that he believes the Lord's taking us in and what he has for us. And this isn't me sharing vision for the church or anything, but I think this is something that we can expect as well from the Lord. And so with God pouring his spirit out, if we can go to the next scripture in Acts, you know, this is where we've just seen in the upper room that, you know, tongues of fire have come down. And, you know, people are saying, you know, they're drunk and this, that and everything. The day of Pentecost. And Peter is actually talking about, hang on, you know, we're not drunk. This is what was said in Joel, Prophet Joel. And so Acts 2:17, if you want to turn there. And so it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. And this in Acts 2 in the New Testament, like I said, is referring to the Old Testament in Joel, what was spoken, the prophetic word. But just before it occurs in Joel, God actually says something else. And he says, the Lord will answer and say to his people, I don't actually think I put this scripture up. Joel 2:19, if you want to go there. We're going to go on a journey all across the Bible. So it's going to test you if you know where the chapters are in the Bible. So Joel 2:19, before he says, I will pour my spirit out, he says this, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. There's that behold again. Oh yeah, I did put it up. Yay me. Pat on the back. Behold, again, pay close attention. Have my undivided attention. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is a proclamation. This is a declaration. I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I love that. And so we're going to go on a journey through the Bible today because God has fresh oil for us in 2026. His oil never runs dry. This bottle was a symbol for that for me, and it's a symbol for us. His oil never runs dry, always flowing. You just got to be there to receive it. And so four times in the Bible, oil was used, and it was used for different things, a symbol that God used his power on earth, his glory, but in different ways. So we're going to start the journey in 2 Kings 4. This is the widow with the jars of oil. And so starting in verse 1, it says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help? Elijah asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. Next slide. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left. I love that. So God performs a miracle in this story where the oil is multiplying. And as long as she had vessels to pour the oil into, the oil was flowing. And I love that we can be like the jars too. As long as God's got open vessels to pour into, the oil will flow. And olive oil in biblical times was very valuable, very expensive. Very expensive, so different to today. And we'll look a little bit about how oil is made later on. But it was so valuable. And it's really interesting that she saw that this flask of oil was to remain in her house and it was valuable. So she saw that. And God used it. God used what she had. It says she only had the oil and he used that to perform a miracle. And there's something in that. Sometimes it's the only thing we've got and God will perform a miracle with it. As long as we're open vessels to be poured into, the oil will keep flowing. And I love that God's provision, because we see provision in this. God's provision is more than enough. She had oil to pay the debts and then also to live off the rest. It wasn't just enough for the debt, because God is a God of more than enough. He's not just I'll provide this and that's it. I'll provide this plus more, because I can do infinitely more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Love that. So the next stop on our journey is Bethany. So we're going to go to Bethany with Mary. And so let's read together in John 12, 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Love this. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. This is really funny, this bit. I had a bit of a laugh. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. I felt like whoever was writing that was like, I'm actually going to put, not that he cared for the poor. He said this, but he didn't care for the poor. He was stealing from the money anyway. I love that it was just a little bit of shade thrown in that. It's like, we see you, Judas, and everyone's going to read from now on. Not that you cared for the poor. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." People won't always understand what we're offering and sacrificing to the Lord. We'll get mocked and criticized from a worldly point of view if we're told to say lay down our job for the Lord, or if we're told to give a ridiculous amount of money to God, because that does happen. You know, in a worldly lens and perspective, that won't make sense. And we'll often get criticized. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand what we're offering to the Lord. And sometimes we don't understand. Would Mary really understand that she's feeling prompted to give a year's wages of perfumed oil and pour it onto Jesus' feet, when in actual fact, the nard was picked to be poured? And I just love that for oil to be made, there's a process that it goes through. And the olives are picked by hand or shaken from trees. They're crushed by heavy stones. They're pressed again to pulp. And then the mashed up pulp is placed in baskets. And then the oil drips out. And they actually call the fine oil that drips through the basket, beaten oil. And so from being beaten and crushed and pressed, there's this beautiful oil that can be poured out across the nation, across the world. Is that not like Jesus? Such a beautiful foreshadowing, and how he says, she's preparing me for my burial. So sometimes we don't understand what we're doing, but God's working things in the background. And the nard in the perfumed oil is only found at the base of the Himalayas, and it's actually a native flowering herb that is found between the altitudes of 3,000 and 5,000 feet, which is crazy to think. And so the journey that a person went on to get the nard, to pick it, to then mix it with olive oil that had been pressed, shaken, beaten. This nard was created, picked, chosen to be poured out unto Jesus' feet as an offering, as a worship, as a sacrifice. And I think we can be like the nard too. I think of how God pursues us and how he picked us, he chose us, he pursued us to be poured out for the Lord onto Jesus' feet as an offering. If we would say, not my will, but your will, and say, God, I'm going to give you my all. It's costly. It's a year's worth of wages. It's costly, but I'm still willing to be picked, to be poured, because that's what I was created for. We'll move on in our journey to Bethlehem and look at the next oil. And this is Samuel anointing David. And for the sake of time, maybe we won't read the whole thing, but this is where Samuel is, you know, going through the sons of Jesse, and he, you know, gets to some and he's like, no, this isn't the one. And then he asks, do you have any more sons? And Jesse says, well, yeah, I have one, but he's out in the fields with the sheep and the goats. And so he said, send for him at once. And it says, Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So watch out if you're dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. You might be the next king. So the Lord says, anoint him, this is the one. So as David stood there among his brothers, which would be so interesting because they've all lined up and they're expecting to be the next king. And in front of them all, God chooses the one that's in the field with the sheep and the goats, says this is the one. And so then it says Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day. So David was picked, anointed, and appointed as the new king with oil. So oil was also used to signify change, the new, the appointment and promotion for what God has next. Interestingly, I think it was like 10 to 12 years. That's not gospel, but I believe it was about 10 to 12 years, maybe even 15 years from that day until David became king. So there's always a waiting period, and sometimes God can take a very long time to do something suddenly, but he's always working in the background. And so we're starting to see the different ways that God manifests his power through oil in the Bible. So we see provision, we see worship, preparation, sacrifice with Mary, and now we see this was to appoint, anoint the new. This is saying, my Spirit's going to come upon you powerfully for the next season that I have chosen you to be, that I have appointed you for. The next place we're going to go on the journey, and the last one, is healing, and that's with the disciples being sent out with oil. And it says, Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. And he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place, shake the dust off your feet. as a testimony against them. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So we see oil was used to anoint and heal in this part of the Bible. And James 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." God's oil does not run dry. God's oil does not run dry. We see this in the four parts of the Bible that we just went on that journey with. The different ways God uses oil to provide, to heal, to as sacrifice, preparation, anointing for the new, His Spirit coming powerfully upon. Maybe we could have the worship team come up, except for Joel. I really, really sense that God's doing a new thing globally. Lucky I spoke to Joel beforehand. He's not being told, "You're not good enough to get back up here." He knows that. I want to pray for him. But yeah, God's doing a new thing globally, and I'm excited and I'm expectant. And this is a perfect opportunity for us to spend some time with the Lord and say, "God, what's the new thing that you have for me? How can I serve you in 2026? How can I surrender to you in 2026? How can I lay down my life for you? What can I partner with in 2026? I love that. That's something that we can do on the side. But over here, I also feel God saying, "I've got fresh oil and my oil never runs dry. He makes a way where there is no way." We see that. And this morning, love to pray for some people. We've got the prayer team that's going to be ready. I would really love to anoint some people today. I believe God wants to anoint some people today. Pray for some people, His Spirit to move powerfully. And so, why don't we stop and just become aware of Holy Spirit in this place? And let's surrender the next 15 minutes to Him. What He wants to do, the new thing, the oil that He wants to pour out over us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving across this place. Holy Spirit. If you can speak in a heavenly language and you'd like to do so, you can do that. I feel God wants to do something in this space in the next 15 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Mel and Joelle, do you want to come down the front? Jess Hoschke, are you here? Is she here? She's not here. No. Sala? Emily, BJ and Junior, can we pray for you? Cameron? Why don't we stretch our hands out to those at the front? I got the sense that the Lord wanted to reveal a watershed moment for some people today, and that's where the direction of the water changes, and it's going in one way and then it changes to another way. And I felt these people come to, is Kat Peterson here? No, she's not here. That's all right. So So maybe Pastor Rob and Denise, if we want to lay hands on them, kind of come and lay hands on them. Maybe we can anoint them with oil. Why don't we, if you're in the congregation, why don't you stretch your hands out to these ones? Because I feel the Lord has watershed moments new for the ones here. I really feel that he's speaking to these ones. Feel free to play something if you want to, really softly, whatever you feel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Watershed moments, Lord, the new that is here, the new thing that you are doing, God. Lord, your Spirit pouring out over these ones at the front, Lord, afresh, appointing for the new. I thank you that this is like a David moment for them, that you see them and you are anointing them for the new. You are saying, this is the new that I have for you. It's like the birthing of the new. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That trajectory, the watershed moment. Oh, let your Spirit come out and pour upon these people. Thank you for boldness to step into the new, Lord. Boldness to step into the new. Holy Spirit. I just want to open up the altar for anyone else that might want to receive prayer. I believe that God wants to heal in this place with the oil, like we saw with the disciples. Couple of things that I felt from the Lord, lots of things actually, but one in particular I felt was a right wrist and forearm, perhaps it's arthritis or carpal tunnel, and it's like shooting pain that often comes up even when just you're walking or you're living your life and stops you in your tracks. But also things like heart palpitations, heart issue, persistent back issues, breathing difficulties, asthma, lungs, left toe, middle toe loss of feeling, dizziness, health anxiety, reflux, a right leg, sore stiff neck. But also I felt him want to break fear of death, health anxiety, but also fear of death. If there's any that are experiencing that, there's no shame in that. I really feel like God wants to free. So if you would like to come and receive prayer for anything, we've got the prayer team. We've got Brian Angus. If Pastor Rob needs some additional ones, Jem, he will, he will let us know who's going to pray. But we'd love to anoint anyone that wants to come. If you want to be anointed for 2026 for the new, you're feeling God saying, I'm stirring, I'm feeling to partner with that new that God has for me. Come down and we can pray for you for that. Healings, provision. If you're desperate for provision or a miracle, come down, we're going to pray for that. Just start coming now. We'll pray for anyone that needs to be prayed for. Thanks, team.
Lily's just going to lead us in a song. I just really encourage you to stand in faith with the people that are here. I just want to encourage you to believe. I actually had a miracle this morning. When church first started, even when I stood up, my head was literally pounding. I'm like, Lord, unless you intervene, I think I'm going to throw up. But you know what? I just pressed in the worship and that headache is completely gone. So I just really encourage you. Healing is in the house. So, you know, reach out. Even if you don't want to come out the front, if you do, then by all means come and be anointed. But if you don't, just reach out to God. Believe for healing. God doesn't want us to be limited because of our physical condition. And so if you need to go, then I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful church family and visitors that are here today. Lord, I ask that what has been imparted, Lord, that about your oil and how powerful your oil is, Lord, and how you use your oil to just prepare us and to change things, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. So, Father, I pray, may we be people that go forth with the anointing oil of Lord. Oh, that your glory may rest upon us as we leave this place and as we just walk out those doors and share your love with others. And so, Father, I thank you. Bless these people. Let them just go knowing how powerful and anointed they are because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be blessed. You're welcome to stay and chat. Maybe if you want to chat, perhaps up the back or in the foyer because people are getting prayer. And also I wanted to say, because we don't have tea and coffee, maybe you'd like to invite someone to your place for tea and coffee or meet them at one of the shopping centres or Macca's or somewhere like that and have some fellowship with people. So God bless you. Feel free to stay. Feel free to worship as Apilly leads us. Thanks.